So we wrestled with the drug capecitabine in the treatment of metastatic disease. Widely utilized, 14 days on and 7 days off, well known to cause real toxicities, and hardly anybody can use the drug at the doses that are specified in the approval process because of the toxicities, so that people reduce the dose of the drugs and maintain the 14-day cycle or have to curtail it by stopping after 10 or 11 or 12 days. And for that reason, the drug, which is a fantastically active drug, has probably not been as utilized as much as it should be for that particular reason. So in discussion with my colleagues at Roche, we designed some animal experiments to look at the growth curves of tumors in mice that were being treated with capecitabine and fit the curves with the Gompertzian curves and with Norton-Simon Gompertzian-type regression and just see what we can see. Now, one thing that Richard Simon and I observed many decades ago and was published in one of our earliest papers, I think in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute many, many, many years ago, decades ago, in fact, was that if you give a continuous therapy, whether it's every day, every 6 hours, every 2 days, every 3 days, but on a continuous basis, and you look at not does the tumor shrink, but what is the rate of shrinkage compared to the rate of growth that tumor would have if it were not treated with chemotherapy, what one finds is that if you give continuous therapy, you hit a point where that ratio is maximum, and then that ratio starts to drop. So that after a certain period of time, that the cancer is still shrinking, but it's not shrinking as fast as it was compared to what a spontaneous growth would be as it would at an earlier time. And what we found in the animal experiments is that with capecitabine, roughly around a week, it could be 6, 7, 8, 9 days, was the point where the ratio of the regression compared to its anticipated growth rate at that tumor size was maximum. You kept treating 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 days. The tumor continued to shrink, but it was actually shrinking more gradually than it was shrinking proportionally by day 7. So to optimize that schedule, what one has to do, the mathematics is very clear on this, is stop at day 7 and then come back in with another 7 days of therapy as soon as you can. That's the dose-dense concept. You pick your optimal dose and schedule, and you give it as often as you can. And so we explored in the animal systems 7 days on and 7 days off. And one thing that was remarkable is you could drive the dose level much higher. If you don't have to worry about the second week of therapy, you can put the dose level much higher. And that caused even more regression in doing so. So we had fantastic results in the animal systems. And based on that, Maria Theodoulou, Cliff Huddis, Tiffany Trainer at Memorial Sloan Kettering have been conducting a phase 1-2 trial of 7 days on and 7 days off. And frankly, the trial is still ongoing for a long time now because we can't reach maximum tolerated dose. And so we think we might be approaching it now, but we've gone much higher with the dose than we ever could have imagined. And our responses are terrific and toxicity is greatly minimized. It's just like we discovered with the use of Neupogen and now Neulasta with giving AC and paclitaxel every 2 weeks, that you got greater efficacy, but also less toxicity. So the 7 days on, 7 days off seems to be very efficacious, but in addition to that, it's less toxic than 14 days on and 7 days off, and that's based on the mathematical modeling. So that's really where dose density is going. We're actually going back to looking at the perturbation of animal tumors with various dose and schedules of chemotherapy and using that as a way of picking optimal dose and optimal schedule, even of agents that have been widely utilized.
So are we moving towards adjuvant dose-dense AC paclitaxel followed by capecitabine?
Certainly people are talking about that now, and especially in the setting of preoperative AC followed by T dose-dense, because not everybody's going to have a pathological complete remission. So the question is, if indeed you give dose-dense AC followed by T and you don't get a pathological complete remission, and you get a pretty high rate of pathological complete remission, by the way, by doing this, but if you don't, then you have residual cells that are probably resistant to those agents, and therefore dose-dense capecitabine at that point would be a very reasonable idea. We're also looking at combinations of dose-dense capecitabine with antivascular agents, Avastin being an example, as well as anti-HER2 agents.
What about in the actual adjuvant setting? You need to do the neoadjuvant first?
It really looks like we're going to be able to get our answers faster with the neoadjuvant approach. But if it's going to work in the neoadjuvant setting, it's going to work in the adjuvant setting. And that's one of the great things that we've learned by our research as a community in the last few years, is that if it works adjuvant, it'll work neoadjuvant. If it works neoadjuvant, it'll work adjuvant. I think eventually, once we have improved regimens, perhaps chosen because of their activity in the neoadjuvant setting, we can use them neoadjuvant or postoperatively and get the same benefit.